Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It me telling you that we have got a brand new premium Bandcamp episode up of Filthy Casuals for a dollar or more, whatever you want to pay, covering the history of Star Wars games. Every Star Wars game ever produced.
Yes, every Star Wars game that isn't a mobile game or a web browser game. I don't know how to put that in the promotional material because it sounds clunky as fuck, but here it is, clunking up the intro to this episode.
Just got a bit of a throat thing at the moment, guys.
I'm assuming that went into the microphone you're recording with, but for me and Tommy, inaudible.
We lost it.
We
it
just
sounded
saw
like
you cover your mouth.
I was, I was doing a really quiet Yoda impression.
Oh, nice.
But for references like that and more, go to filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com and get 3 hours of Star Wars power for $1 or more.
Yeah, it's a really good one, I think, and I reckon people will enjoy it. And also, it is every Star Wars game. And
it is every
crazy
Star Wars game that's not on like a phone. So, yeah, go and grab it. Enjoy it. Let us know if you like it. Don't let us know if you don't.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing it. And now, on with the ep.
Yellow creature gobbles dots while being pursued through maze by monsters.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Good morning, Tommy. It's Ben Vanel here. It's a beautiful spring morning in Melbourne as we approach the end of our long-term indoors.
The traffic on the Western Ring Road is not too bad, so you should be able to get in.
It's probably great at the moment.
This is the last episode we are doing. My name is Adam Knox, over the fucking internet for, I don't want to jinx it, but ever. Forever. This is the last time we'll ever have to do it.
No, anytime we go on a holiday, we're all going together. that's the plan from now on, just to because of the trauma of the lockdowns.
Yep.
We can't do this again.
Any tragedies in our personal lives? Too bad. You're coming coming around. Yep. And I'm putting a microphone in front of your face. If it gets wet,
have
that's on you.
Have the funeral at my house.
Yeah. We'll be broadcasting the wake live on Twitch. No, it's good to be here this week. Not a huge week for like massive AAA releases, but still a bunch of shit going on in the world of video games.
Yeah, plenty to talk about. This is the last lockdown Zoom recording we'll be doing. We are free as of tomorrow for anyone outside of Melbourne who isn't across that news. But yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. But we also have one more online commitment.
Yes.
After doing this episode.
You made an online commitment to me. And now this.
We're hosting a Master of the Map tournament through Fortress Melbourne, an esports cinema in the CBD, which is reopening on November the 5th. And if you want to go in, they are now taking bookings. But this weekend, the Saturday and Sunday, we are going to be, hosting for them from 4 p.m. both days. Saturday is Warzone and Sunday is Fortnite.
Yeah.
And if you are listening and you're in Australia or New Zealand, you can sign up to compete and there's a ton of prizes to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get into one of the finals on either day, you're guaranteed cash money, which is pretty sick. Yeah, I'm excited to do this. We did our tech run with the team the other day. It all went very smoothly. There wasn't a lot of time spent on moving the banners around behind us, adjusting lights.
No one told me that I looked red, and then I had to go like, oh, it's just my skin, but I guess I'll wash myself out. Okay, bye.
Genuinely, they are lovely people, and they've been good enough to get us on board, and I'm pumped. We're just going to do our regular thing, talk shit. So, yeah, you can obviously watch from anywhere in the world. It's just on Twitch. So, yeah, fortressmelbourne.com. And yeah, I'm psyched to go in when we're allowed to. It's like, it's the biggest like video games venue, because there's like two bars and a cinema and shit as well. I think it's the biggest one in the Southern Hemisphere, which is crazy.
If you do want to
have, you don't let people come round.
I don't let you see the entirety of my house.
Wow, because we have come a lot to your place to record. I guess I've never been in your bedroom.
You've never
been. We had no idea that there's a cinema.
Yeah. You've never been in the LAN room.
I guess not.
Or the bar. If you do want to compete, fortressmelbourne.com, and if you're in Australia or New Zealand, you can sign up for Warzone before Friday, tomorrow at 5 p.m. If you're listening to this on the day it came out, maybe Friday is yesterday where you are, but Friday the 22nd, 5 p.m., and Fortnite Saturday the 23rd at 9 p.m. That's when registrations close, and then 4 p.m. on the Saturday and the Sunday is when we'll be streaming and commentating a whole bunch of Fortnite and Warzone games, and it's trios as well. It's worth pointing out. That's what you got to sign up in. Groups of three.
Yeah.
Like
once
us.
They got us to do the hosting, and then they changed the entire structure of the show to be trios only in the games, just to honor us.
They said, you guys proved that three really is the least lonely number.
Yep.
And then we were like, that's a weird way to phrase it, Fortress Melbourne. And then they were like, hey, sorry. That's on us. That's our fault.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be lots of fun. And yeah, even if you're not competing, you can tune in to watch us. Make some little zingaroonies while people are blowing each other's heads off.
Damn, also, I really trust a guy who says zingaroony to be funny.
thanks to everyone who bought a ticket and came along to our live Zingaroony Fest on the weekend.
Yes, it really
was super fun. Again, we keep doing things that go for 3 hours, but that was 3 hours of a really fun time. We played a lot of Quiplash. I think 1 hour was Quiplash. So that was really, really fun. A lot of funny people in the filth. So a lot of stuff going on, which I'm very glad about, because I like doing the podcast. I like hanging out with the filth.
But luckily, if you're sick of hearing about us talk about what else we're doing next week, we'll have nothing.
Coming into Christmas with no more income. No.
Yeah, the venues are open and the work has dried up. It's good to be out, boys.
There'll be some games, though. There are some big video games coming out. I guess we're not going to talk about them this week, but there are some on the horizon. You know what else was on the horizon a few days ago and then rapidly came up to where we are and now is in the rearview window?
Sun. I'm going to go with sun or moon or like a building, a large building you saw in the distance.
I guess it could be anything you've driven past, hey? Yeah.
Well, no, because if you're driving like in front of a mountain, something behind that mountain doesn't appear on the horizon for you. So what you've said is fucking stupid, Ben.
Well, how about I reveal what I was about to say? I was going to say video game news.
Oh.
Okay. You're right. That was on the horizon.
Yeah.
And then now it's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
But there's a whole new example of that on the horizon.
You can definitely
coming up.
See video game news on the horizon as well, because it is the size of a mountain, whether or not that video game news is a molehill. Nintendo announced the pricing of the Switch Online stuff. I actually do think it's too expensive, but people are fucking angry.
Yes.
Yeah.
About this.
I'm surprised. You're usually much more angry than most people about it. And this is, it seems like the reverse. Like, I don't understand why people are flipping their lids at this.
I definitely do. It is double the price and you're not getting, like, significantly more. It might even be the case that the pricing in the US is more egregious than it is over here. I think,
maybe
weirdly enough, that is the case this time, because I've seen people saying 150% increase of price in the US, But here it's 60 Australian dollars rather than 30. So maybe right. that is part of it as well, that like, A, Switch Online was cheaper than the other online services mm-hmm. to start with. And B, my expectation is that it's Nintendo, so it will be Nintendo prices. So I guess it hasn't surprised me how this has been priced as much as it seems to with some others. But I don't think people are wrong that, like, so they're adding, I think we talked about it a bit last week, the Nintendo 64 games and the Mega Drive games, and you get that Animal Crossing expansion that they did a direct about and went into more detail on. You get that included. I think it was unclear to me if you get that included as a bonus that you download and you have forever if you subscribe once, or if it that
I think you have to keep yours. I think you have to keep your subscription active, like a lot of those things have kind of been in the past.
Yeah, I mean that's the same as like Game Pass or you know the PSN Plus games. So that makes sense. But yeah, it isn't an enormous value add for doubling the price, but also the price is brought more in line with the other ones, so it doesn't surprise me. So I don't know. I kind of feel not that much about it, but I do understand why people are as angry as they are.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm going to sound like an apologist with this company, like I, you know, regularly am. Yeah. But it's now double the price for two extra consoles. It's not double the price just for this one thing on its own. Like, you don't have to get it. You can still pay the same amount and just have the Super Nintendo and Nintendo games. It's just you're paying more for more of these games. And at the end of the day, it's $60 for a year subscription to have all of these legacy games. I don't know. It just seems to me like people whinge and go, oh, I want it to be cheaper. It's like, yeah, I want everything to be cheaper. Like, right. What's your fucking big argument? Like,
that's the thing. I don't understand any of this ever, because it's like, if it's too expensive for you, don't buy it. This is not food. This is not shelter. These are video games. You don't have to buy them if you don't want to.
I think,
and in this case, if there is a groundswell of support for it being genuinely overpriced, which again, it's subjective. I don't know how you know, this is not the, you know, stock market. This is not staples, you know, for food. This is video games. So, but if enough people are like, no, I don't want to pay that, then maybe they'll make it cheaper, which is how anything works.
I think that...
I just opt out. It's a video game.
Compared to other services, I think is possibly where people are saying like, well, it doesn't quite match up what the value of other things are when you're adding... Like in the US, it is going from $20 to $50 per year. So that is a bigger jump of 150% versus 100 here. So it is worse there. And I can get that it's hard to with other currencies, even though you can what's that word called?
Exchange?
Yeah. You can figure out what they worth in other places.
Yeah.
But
you can translate it.
Yeah.
Currency.
You can, there's a different word than translate that maybe I'm imagining exists. It doesn't really matter because the point is I don't actually know how much $50 is in real life living in America. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Anyway. But it is, I mean, it is like, it's basically a new service. I think that's where they've tripped themselves up is by calling it Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack kind of thing. Because going, oh, the price has gone from 20 to 50. The price hasn't gone from 20 to 50. The price for that thing that you already have is still $20. It's just if you want more stuff on it that they've added as like its own separate thing, you are paying a bit more, which doesn't seem... And also, they are going to keep adding stuff to it. It is a lot more, yeah. But they're going to add stuff to it over the year as well. Like, they've added so much stuff to the NES and SNES Online. I think for me, it's like, you see people make this argument, and it's like, it always irks me when people's big argument is, but I could just play these for free on an emulator. It's like, cool, I can steal a car and not have to pay 10 grand for one. Like, why? They shouldn't base their pricing around the fact that you can illegally get stuff for free. I don't know.
No, I agree. And like the $60 American is how much like a Metroid Dread was. So it's cheaper than a brand new game, and it's a it's an ongoing service. So I don't know. I just think don't get it if it's too expensive for you. This is not food. This is not water. You know. I'd like to get the Millennium Falcon Lego set, but it's like $1,000, so I can't afford it. You know, like.
Yeah, that's how it works.
When
there are expectations around pricing based on, like, I think if so many people have a reaction to it, it means there's some, and it's difficult to quantify, but some, like, expectation around pricing or a sort of generally agreed upon understanding of what things are worth that this exceeds for the majority of people, it appears. At least the majority of people who are complaining about it.
Getting, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's weird that all the people who vocally saying they don't like it don't like it.
Yeah,
you know, what about the millions of people who have happily signed up? But it's, again, it's like, absolutely don't get it if you can't afford it and you have a moral, you know, issue with it. Don't get it. If enough people don't get it, then they'll lower the price. That's how collective action works. Go for it. But you're not entitled for it to be cheaper.
But I mean, this is what always... cheap. This is what happens with most things Nintendo do, is that there's like a very vocal negative response to it of people that aren't going to engage with it and don't get it. And then there's the freaks like me who are just like, oh, great, I can play Ocarina of Time. I'm in.
Nintendo has your bank details and is going to direct debit it from you anyway. Like, right. It hasn't been a conversation. It would have been $150 if it weren't for the fact that they knew they were going to get enough money to keep them going out of you. So they can pass those savings on to the
Yeah, exactly. Well, one thing I read was that the theory that, and not that this makes it any better for people who think it's too expensive, but a part of the reasoning for that is that it's like licensing stuff where they've had to strike a deal with Sega. Yeah. Well, and also if Rare stuff is going to be on there, like they've said Banjo-Kazooie is going to be on there, they've had to work something out with Microsoft, presumably. So there's like that Nintendo, that Emily Rogers lady who's like... Mm-hmm. Used to work for them or something, who she put up a thing about how...
I believe it's...
Yeah, that's what she thinks it is.
Her uncle works at Nintendo.
Right, yeah. Right. Yes. Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, he's got all the codes for how to get Luigi. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that, like, feeling that a pricing isn't fair isn't the same as entitlement all the time, but and it seems like it's caused a big reaction. You know what I mean? So I don't think people are necessarily being like, make it cheaper for me. I think it does come across as... exorbitant to a lot of people, and I don't think that's necessarily wrong. But I also think, yeah, like there's either Nintendo will lower it because they end up realizing they have to, or it like every company is always trying to charge you the most they can.
Yeah,
and the idea
exactly.
that companies are trying to get you the thing for as little as possible is usually a fallacy, and it's like either the thing is a loss leader or you are the product or like whatever.
Yeah.
It is very rare that people are being nice and offering less than they could to the person purchasing it. $1 only if you want to for our Star Wars Bandcamp.
No, that's legit. But yes, you're right. Like Game Pass is not cheap because that's how much it genuinely costs. It is a loss leader.
Yeah.
Like the Microsoft do want to capture a bunch of Sony and Nintendo rusted on fans by offering them a cheaper than is actually reasonable product, so that in the end, you know, they get them in the ecosystem.
Because there's a way that you can get Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for like a third of the price that it's meant to cost for like 3 years, that is still kind of a loophole. You like upgrade just regular Xbox Live for $1 and that still works, and that can't be because they don't know about it, because they have the data of all the people doing it. They want those people to get their first little taste so that they stick around later.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't really sympathize, but I think we have all three of the possible views you could have on this issue right here. And guess what? I've got something positive to talk about. I've got breaking news. I've got breaking news. I'm going to paste it in the Discord chat. And hope it works. Uncharted movie leaked footage.
It's just come out. A little turd. Is this new? I don't like the poor.
It's 44 seconds. Wow, yeah. Should we sync it up and hit play at the same time?
Look at that. Right,
hang on.
Okay. Yeah.
It on zero.
It is a Twitter post from someone called You Know Who Dis. And I actually don't know who dis.
No.
But I bet that Universal will be trying to find out who dis or whoever's publishing it.
So,
A movie theater owner recorded footage and posted it online.
Yes.
Do you want the trailer.
Let's go. Three, two, one. play. Now
we've got a bit of wind.
A young Tom Holland, or a current age Tom Holland, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's Uncharted 3. He's falling off of the crates coming out of the plane.
Yeah.
He's dodging crates. People are getting knocked
Didn't
off.
Didn't love the CGI on that guy getting knocked off.
Yep.
It's hard Uncharted. To tell on a Twitter video, to be fair, I guess.
It looks like a video. Okay, this looks real.
Okay.
All right.
They've made a joke about... Okay, for some reason, they've changed the guy in the plane to be Scottish so that they can make a Scottish accent joke, which seems fucking stupid. The guy said, "You're about to get a proper Scottish welcome."
Yeah.
And Tom Holland, as a very young-looking boy, said, "What?
What?
Yep.
What?"
I think he still
February 18.
Okay.
There you go.
That looks kind of cool.
Yeah. He looks a bit young.
He looks a bit young, and I don't know. I know Uncharted is an incredibly over-the-top version of Indiana Jones, and so you get stuff like this that is absolutely unrealistic. There's no... Like, this is beyond a Mission Impossible Tom Cruise stunt. Like, this is clearly just CGI. I liked that, like, 2 or 3 years we had, like, about 4 years ago, where people were trying to do practical stunts more and practical effects. But I don't know. This is such, you know... a limited amount of footage. It's very hard to tell.
Yeah, Twitter has some of the worst video compression shit in the world, so I'm finding it difficult to really tell if I think this looks like CGI or not, you know?
It's a very bright blue sky.
It looks like it's a it looks like it's a cutscene in a game.
Yeah.
It looks very like computer animated.
The guy falling off the crate is like, that's like Spider-Man, you know, 2 CGI animation.
Where I guess so.
He's flipping around like a rubber man, but it's very hard to tell.
Yeah, I'll reserve judgment for when I see this in a theater in a one day.
my wife. Yeah, I assume that they will be releasing some footage due to this leak.
Yes.
Because that's what always happens.
Tends to be the way.
It's a trailer, isn't it? It's if you go up above that.
Yeah, right.
There's like someone said, the trailer has leaked. Expect an HD trailer release very soon.
Great. So all right. This is only 40 seconds of what...
Well, we're recording this 9 hours before it goes up or something like that. So maybe by the time you hear this, the full... HD version is available to you. But yeah, it looks pretty much exactly how you would imagine if someone said they're making a big budget Uncharted movie with Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg. They both show up in this, and it looks like they've missed the mark on the humor.
Much like the games, to be fair.
Hey,
I hope someone says they're...
Yeah, exactly. You take it. You take it then.
Take it away.
I just want to say I'm sweating like a whore in church because it's such a beautiful hot summer's day here in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's not summer.
It's close. We're getting
there. Yeah, it's coming. So there you go. That's the first time I think we've done breaking news and a trailer reaction mid-pod.
Legit breaking news.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of movies, there was that DC Fandom event earlier in the week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they played like a trailer for the Batman that I don't understand how people are reacting positively to, if I'm going to be honest. Hey, I'm with you on the Switch Online thing. I'm against you on the Batman thing. I'm a complicated man. So don't try and pigeonhole me. But they also played some trailers for Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and Gotham Knights, which are the two Batman games being developed by Rocksteady and someone else, respectively.
WB Montreal.
Who are they from again?
The Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, Yakko Jacko and Wacko Jacko.
Yeah. I don't know what WB Montreal have developed.
We should look this up again because, the trailers... actually make me, or at least the Suicide Squad trailer has me a lot more interested in that game than I was when they showed just the little teaser thing a year ago now.
Yes.
And they're still not, is there dates for either of them? Just next year.
Yeah, 2022. They're next gen exclusive, or at least thingo is, Suicide Squad is, and it looks fucking awesome graphically. Like, this all looks like it's an engine, and it's very, very pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. WB Montreal, they did Arkham Origins, which I think is a great entry in this franchise.
Right.
Or in one of the franchises, the timelines. Gotham Knights is PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox One, and Series.
Right. So it was really weird watching this Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League trailer, and for the first time that I can remember, having the reaction of recognizing an actor who I only know from another game as an actor in this game, who, like, one of your mates in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is also your boss in this one.
Yes.
Which was a really strange thing, but also speaks to how good video games look now, that it was literally the same as when I watched the Macbeth trailer before, and I was like, oh, Denzel Washington.
The same
part of my brain lit up on the CAT scan that I'm constantly receiving from
using an actual likeness in a game has become such a technique now, not just a voice and then like a kind of composite render of someone. Like actually having a person's likeness in the game is becoming more and more widespread. But I thought this looked great too. Would love to fucking see any gameplay of this game that is presumably out next year, because we saw a little bit of Gotham Knights gameplay a year ago. All the trailer stuff looks cool, but it's a bit like, of course you can cut like a little cinematic thing together to look good. I kind of want to know what I'm going to be doing in the game.
I think the fact that this has the pedigree of Rocksteady, who made those three Arkham games, makes me feel a little bit more confident that the gameplay will probably be good in the same way that those games were. And it was from that trailer last year, more the tone and the story and the writing and stuff of the game that I was...
The chewed.
That's a good way of saying it. The apostrophe chewed.
Yeah.
That I was maybe more on the fence about with Suicide Squad. And this trailer has done a good job of making me think that'll probably be okay.
Yeah, I think so. I can't hold their music choice against them too much, because it makes it feel like they have the tone or the sensibility of a late 2000s comedy. But what actually is happening in the trailer, yes, I'm on board with. I think it's good characterization. Fucking visually, it looks spot on. Rocksteady make fantastic games. So even if it's a little, if I've got to turn the sound down and the subtitles off, it's going to be a fun game to play regardless.
Yeah. Cause that like sort of, cheesy rock music is very much a Suicide Squad thing.
Yeah.
I guess. And,
true.
I didn't find it as off-putting. I really liked the two Injustice games. People thought there was going to be a third one announced as well, which, would have been cool, but. The two Injustice games that exist now, and if you can hear an alarm on my recording, ignore that, because I am, and if you hear burning and screaming, ignore it. Those two Injustice games use like the extended DC canon of superheroes and shit well, and this seems to have the same sort of tone of like Superman is bad and they are all a bit off.
I think it was the hot take alert going off, Knox, because I am here to say I loved the Suicide Squad, the movie that came out like a few months ago. That hasn't gone well. Didn't really go hugely well. But I loved it. I think it's the best superhero movie I've seen in years.
Right.
And I'm on board with like the world and the characters, and I like the whole point. So I really, maybe I have expectations for this or something. I'm still a little reserved, but... I hope it's great. I really do.
I want to play as a big shark. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Be a big old shark.
The fact
big
that they never made a Street Sharks game back in the day when Street Sharks were big. I mean, Street Sharks are still big. They're fucking sharks as
they're
people.
Bloody
you
huge,
think that's
mate.
Not a
they're
large creature?
9 foot tall.
Gotham Knights from the gameplay that we saw last year, and also just from the slightly more dour tone that it has. I'm less interested in. I don't know the Court of Owls stuff that it's adapting, which people, including you, Ben, seem to be interested in.
Yeah. It is a darker toned story. And if they do that well, then it could be one of the great games. You know, like if they do manage to adapt this serious version of a comic book plot, could be really, really good. But it doesn't appear to be super serious in tone from the gameplay we saw. It seems to be very, not arcadey.
Yeah.
But almost like immersive. That Marvel Avengers game from last year.
Right.
Like,
right.
There were numbers flying off of people. It looked like a maybe kind of generic beat 'em up thing with multiplayer co-op stuff. So, yeah, still a bit more reserved on that one.
Mm. These being kind of like shown at the same time and sort of grouped together feels weird to me because yeah. you're always going to end up going, you know, it feels weird to compare them because they're separate games. But, yeah, they seem to kind of be linking them as a package and it's like you're going to care about one more than the other and they, I don't know, it seems strange to me.
It's a problem that DC in particular has always seemed to have in the modern comic book resurgence era, where every second thing is unrelated to the thing before it.
Right.
And it is a really peculiar choice that people keep making, seeing as there is so many billions of pieces of evidence that point towards people quite enjoying continuity.
Right. Even the fucking titling of these games. Like, and that, yes, I think that is representative of some person at DC, at the head of marketing or the head of content or whatever, just not getting it. Because, like, why call it Gotham Knights if it is not the sequel to Arkham Knight? But why then, link it so closely? Why have the story appear to follow on when it's actually a different continuity? And why have Rocksteady develop Suicide Squad : kill the Justice League and be that?
Yeah.
Have that one but be the one that's in the same universe?
Isn't it sort of the fact that every time they, in the movies at least, when they try to do continuity, they'll get a bad one, they'll get a dud, and then that spooks them off and they just reset the clock? Because without them having that approach, then we don't get Joker, which, you know, is kind of a standalone thing, is great. It sounds like that recent Suicide Squad movie is the same thing, where they're like, oh, no, the last continuation thing we did kind of sucked, we'd better completely reset it. So it's like, it seems like they kind of weirdly do get vindicated by not sticking to it. But they also, you know, if Marvel had reset every time they had a dud, they would have gotten three movies into that timeline, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Very true.
It's an unappealing end. It's something that keeps me at arm's length from DC stuff, personally.
Mm. It's so messy.
But you know what? Mm. I'm open to the idea of looking forward to and then enjoying a video game. I'm here. I'm ripe for the picking. Warner Brothers, let me in. You know what? Speaking of looking forward to a video game, there was 30 seconds of uninteresting footage of Elden Ring that got leaked.
Yes.
And it is the most excited I've been about news pre a game's release since like Red Dead Redemption 1 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I am pumped up like a 1990s shoe for this game.
And a release date kind of out of the blue, right? Like it's been pretty vague for a while, and then all of a sudden,
it had a release date that was earlier, and it got delayed for a month.
Yes,
right.
So it was coming out in January. Now it's coming out in February. They said they just needed more time to polish it. I doubt it was like a reaction to this footage coming out or anything like that. Like with Halo Infinite, or
because the footage is good, right? Like there's nothing.
It's fine. It's like original Xbox One testing footage. So someone is kind of jumping around weirdly doing bug testing stuff on basically the lowest settings of this game, and it still looks artistically very, very nice. To me, it looks like Dark Souls 3 but with a jump button, which I'm up for, but with an open world as well. I think this might be one of my favorite games that I've ever played, potentially. So
a pre-review.
Yeah, let me give you Elden Ring.
Chuck that in the episode description. World exclusive first review of Elden Ring.
We can just make the title "World First Review of Elden Ring" and then footage really, really, really small.
Yeah.
No one will ever find out. I'm really looking forward to this.
If we reviewed.
There's an online like beta test basically in November where they're stress testing all the servers and stuff and letting people play 3 or 4 hours of the game to stress test it. So I've signed up for that. It's kind of a lottery system, I think. Right. And hopefully I'll be able to tell you what Elden Ring is like actually before a lot of the world.
That would be great.
Imagine I such hope a thing. It's not like, you know, when people win the lottery in real life and then they just like fritter away all their money, their life just goes to shit, they end up in debt, everything's worse off before. Yeah. I mean, at least you don't have far to fall, Knox.
No, all these old people start coming out of the woodwork being like, actually, could I get a bit of a go of Elden Ring? I'm like, you haven't talked to me for years. Now you want me to buy you a Tarago?
Yeah, so fingers crossed that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that game, and it's
but obviously,
like,
you know, if you did win, I could come around and play it.
We'll talk.
to go back to something that you touched on earlier, there was a big Animal Crossing Direct where they announced a bunch of new stuff for that. So there's a big free update coming on November the 5th, I believe, where they're adding a bunch of very Animal Crossing-esque updates, like a little coffee shop in the museum, which they focused on for about 7 minutes of the trailer, just going through how you can sit there and drink a coffee and have your friends come and meet you and drink a coffee.
Honestly, I need the reintroduction to that process.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, all right. And I watched it with my girlfriend who was like, this looks awesome. She is pumped up. For all the extra little, just little bits of, like, you know, new fences and stuff, all the sort of stuff that you would expect for a big content update from Animal Crossing, and then as you mentioned before, also a big paid DLC where you go off to another island that is a resort, and you basically get this task of designing homes for people. So you meet with them and they're like, here's the kind of stuff I want in my house. And, you know, you're sort of building and designing a little place for them. So, you know, not a million miles away from what you do on your own island in your own little house, but with just like a bit more of an objective. Like it gives you little kind of tasks to do. And it looks cool. I'm into it. I'm certainly into something in that game with a bit more kind of like drive to it, like little objectives to actually kind of get done along the way. But it looks really fun.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Animal Crossing is like deleted from my brain. It was a very flash of the moment thing where, like, at that time in lockdown, it was like, oh, great, I'll fucking talk to this koala. Yes. And now I couldn't give a shit about ever going back to that island personally. I don't know why.
I think because I've left it for too long, I'm the same way. Same thing happened with the one I think New Leaf, the 3DS one. I played it every day for about 6 months and then I haven't played it again. But this sounds sick.
It looks really fun and like a bit of a different thing to be paying for rather than just like more cosmetic shit in the game. But you're very right. Like I dipped in recently and it's so, and I imagine this is the case for a lot of people, it's so mentally linked to the beginning of the pandemic and lockdowns for me that it's like, because it came out that week and just remembering like, oh, you know, it's pretty funny, isn't it? We got all the time to commit to this island and da-da-da. And like, I kind of dipped back in the other day and was like, ugh. Like, it was like kind of chilling to just remember like, oh, wow, we thought this was like kind of a funny, weird novelty and that it'd be done in a couple of months. Like, it's a little weird. But my girlfriend has been still keeping up with it pretty regularly, getting in there and, you know, I log on and there's all this shit's happened to the island that I had no idea about.
Of course.
The mayor, I thought I was the one who was only able to make all these calls. But, she's someone who's into it and she's pretty pumped about all this stuff being added to it. So, for the people that are still playing,
do her a kindness and delete her island so she can stop reliving that trauma of the start of this pandemic. Don't let her watch the 4 YouTube videos that Brie Larson put out going like, I guess I'll be a YouTube. All of that stuff from back then, we have to just ignore her now.
Elijah Wood turning up to people's islands at random.
Yeah, Sophie Ellis-Bextor dancing in her kitchen on Instagram. It's committed to history and don't revisit
Imagine
it.
All the people. but Lauren is a true casual gamer. This is what we forget. Yeah. 6 years into this podcast is we have become hardcore gamers. I used to be much more casual and I genuinely would play a game like this for a year. You know, like I would play one game. I would love it. I would get every last inch of entertainment out of it. And when an update like this came along, it would be absolutely the best thing that would happen to me, you know, in terms of entertainment stuff. And
For people that aren't buying a new AAA every fortnight or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Just every few months, it's like, yeah, you are really getting your pennies worth. And yeah, they've added heaps of stuff to it for free over the last year and a half. And then finally now there's like a big thing that they're charging for, but it is a significant enough. There was like a game like this on the 3DS, I think, called Happy Home Designer. And it's basically that as a little add-on piece of content for, I think it's $30 or whatever. So
too much. And also they've said that this is the last update as well.
Yes.
Right.
This is Animal Crossing with a little bow on it. Speaking of updates, one last little bit of news. God of War is coming to PC, which now means that like almost every major PS4 exclusive from the last generation is now on PC. You're missing Bloodborne, and I think those first three Uncharted games, which I guess technically aren't PS4 games.
Right.
You don't have any of the old God of Wars, I guess, unless you want to emulate them. But yeah, God of War coming to PC is like another big deal in Sony's bizarre late release PC schedule.
I guess they don't want people to potentially migrate over if they're just going to think that they can get everything eventually. They've got to have it pretty delayed. But
there was a leak that came out of somebody getting something out of Nvidia, right, that had future releases that they were preparing their graphics drivers for.
And that's right.
Had a bunch of Sony stuff in it, which up until this point I believe has consistently proven to be accurate. So the rest of the ones that are on there are Horizon Forbidden West, which makes sense because the first one came out on PC. Gran Turismo 7, which would be huge.
Wow. Yeah.
Like that game I think has really fantastic modding potential too. So I would love to see that on PC. Something called Derisine, which I don't even know what that is, to be honest.
I think they misspelled kerosene.
Kerosene. A little bit of gas on the PC. God of War, which is this. Returnal, Demon's Souls, Ratchet & Clank. They don't specify which, but you would assume it would be Rift Apart. Sackboy, Big Adventure, and Ghost of Tsushima, which I think also, like that is a pretty... That makes a lot of sense for all of those to come out.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's no, like, you know... little wishful thinking Bloodborne on that list.
Right.
Makes me think, yeah, that's real.
Yeah. Okay.
But there was a little rumor that Bluepoint are now working on a Bloodborne remaster and a sequel.
Oh, okay. Right. Because Bluepoint had been acquired by Sony. That happened a few weeks ago.
They're
Sony's
now. They belong to Sony.
Yeah, interesting.
We own you.
Well, and God of War is the one that we've heard about. And if you don't want to have to use the Blades of Chaos to trim your pubes,
then you can
come to manscaped.com.
What are the Blades of Chaos?
I haven't played...
No, I only have a PC.
It's something from Ratchet & Clank.
Oh, okay, cool.
Manscaped, our wonderful sponsors. They've been with us, I think, all year, maybe, at this point. They've been very, very consistent with their support of the show. And they can provide a consistent trim to your pubic hair. I'm trying not to read the same copy again because it's that space copy, and I think I've read it like three times. and every time I get caught up on them saying the orbits in your pants, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make sense, guys.
Read the first two sentences three times, but the rest untouched.
Yeah.
Like your balls might be, and you might need to pay a little bit of attention to the Manscaped rate. Make really good, I would call them general personal grooming products. I know that they like to focus and say that they're particularly good at, genitalia. But
yes,
you can use them
dirty
anywhere.
Little schoolboys in there, obsessed with the dick and balls region. But I used the nose and ear trimmer just last night, getting myself ready for lockdown ending, and really realizing that it was fucking pretty disgusting up there. So
well, you're
thank
so
God
tall.
For Manscaped.
People often are looking up your nose. I agree. That specifically, that one is fantastic. Mm. I was very scared to use it and thought it would hurt my nose. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's whisper quiet, smooth as silk. My nose, inside of my nose, now looks exactly the same as the underside of my ball sack.
Like Home Alone, where he's afraid of the next door neighbor for a long time, but it turns out the next door neighbor's going to help him out and smack those pesky nose hairs with a big snow shovel right yes. at the end of the shave. That's yep. what happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good, and they've got a whole bunch of stuff that you can get for 20% off. And free shipping if you use the code filthy at manscaped.com. So there's a ton of products there that I think are very much worth looking at and then worth using.
Using?
Don't just look at them. You've got to actually use them as
they're
well.
They're
you.
But they're also it, pretty useful.
Yeah. So what else have we got going on, boys? Want to talk about some games we played this week?
Yeah.
Not my sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what have you guys it's been 2-1.
It's 2-1, Knox.
Well, yeah, I think we're all pretty excited about Resident Evil 4 VR is out today as we're recording this. That's the next big one. We had a couple of big ones in the last few weeks. So, yeah, we're kind of between big AAAs, but I've been spending the week kind of focusing on just a couple of smaller games. Wanted a couple of little things that I thought might look good on that new Switch OLED screen that I got. I downloaded Tetris Effect and boy, I've been having myself a real smooth brain time just playing lots and lots of Tetris.
Tetris Effect is the best Tetris that they've ever put out. It
totally.
Is very fucking good.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
So good.
You know what? I bought it on the PlayStation VR and did not like it because I thought that it was like, I didn't know what it is. I'd just gotten the VR headset. I'd played Astrobot. I was like, I want more in this, I want to get more out of this headset. And I thought it was going to be like in some way, like an actual VR version of Tetris. When what it is you've got a helmet on and you're just looking at a Tetris game kind of in front of you.
I understand how you might have thought that, but it is also very funny to buy Tetris and then be like, wait a minute, what the fuck is this?
What could it be?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was like a VR exclusive version of Tetris in some way,
like
rather than just
physically manipulating the blocks or something.
I didn't realize it was just a version of a game that exists on. It's like Tetris. All the little visualization stuff Tetris. Happens around you, so it's a bit more immersive. But I also it was just like, I don't want to. I can play this in a million different ways. I don't want to put this big kind of bulky headset on in order to play it. Playing it on the screen, if you don't really know what it is, it's Tetris, but it's like each level has like a different sort of visual theme, a different song. It's very, how would you describe it? It's very like kind of almost Winamp screensaver visualization
kind of
stuff.
It's the people who made Luminous, right? So
yes.
It's got that type of like 90s rave aesthetic almost.
Yep.
Where it's a lot of neon coming and coming through like different settings, or it'll be like, this is like the rainy city street level where everything's got a bit of that. But then as you're listening to the music and placing the blocks, the music kind of adapts to the blocks and it makes the visuals adapt to the music, and it creates this effect that is very, very calming and engrossing.
It sounds like it's not, that doesn't sound like all that much, but the actual effect, it's kind of got like a I guess a campaign where you're kind of going through all these different visualizations one by one. And it is exciting. Like it's very seamless. Like if you finish one without getting a game over screen, it just moves you straight across to the next one. It keeps your progress of like where all the blocks were. Mm. And it is exciting going like, oh, I wonder what the next crazy cool thing is going to be, because there's like there'll be like a nice desert, then there'll be like an underwater thing, and especially on that OLED screen it looks fantastic. It's so colorful, it's so bright. It's alongside Metroid Dread, it's a really, really good way of showing off how nice that screen can actually look. And if you it's like, I think if you should have some version of Tetris in your library, because it's just a great game to have, especially on the go. And yeah, like you said, I think this is the best version of it that they've ever put out. And it's got, I think it's, this version of it is like a slightly updated one that's just come out on the Switch. And then I think there's like patches for it on all the other consoles that's got like online play and a whole bunch of other stuff in it. But I think it's a pretty concise package.
It's called Tetris Effect Connected, technically, and it has some multiplayer and cross-platform multiplayer, which is cool, elements to it that I suppose they've added recently. But yes, the Switch version is the same as the console versions are now. They've been updated to include this stuff. Like, I don't think it's a hugely different thing, right?
No, I think it just has online modes if you want them, which... Yeah, I think is a pretty niche.
It's so good. Just looking at the little bit of the information about this, I'm looking at some dolphins jumping out of the water behind a Tetris block thing, and that looks really cool.
Mm. Yeah.
You want to play Tetris and look at a dolphin? No?
Yeah.
You fucking monster.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Jesus.
The blocks kind of, like, what they look like changes across each mode. Yeah, it's great. I'm not here to recommend Tetris to you. I'm here to remind you that there is a really great current version of it out on all the consoles.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but on like an official Nintendo Switch page on their website, I love that they bother to put supported play modes, TV mode, tabletop mode, and handheld mode. Like, that's the point of the Switch. What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you could play in tabletop and not in handheld mode.
Yeah,
I guess Mario Party.
Yeah,
sure.
That is
okay. Yeah. So we sound a little stupid now.
They now have to have that caveat for every game just because of one game not supporting it. Another thing I've been playing, exclusively in handheld mode, is a game called Beast Breaker, which is made by the people who made the game Threes, which is. Probably my favorite mobile game ever. It's very different to Threes. Threes is just like a little tile moving game. This kind of has like a bit of story and kind of character to it. So it immediately looks very different.
Threes is the one that led to people making 2048, which was a copy of Threes, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 2048 existed before it and Threes was a version of 2048.
Scaled
down,
but it's
that one where you slide the tiles from edge to edge of the screen to combine... matching numbers to increase the number that they are.
Yep. You're trying to get the highest tile you can.
Six goes to nine, goes to whatever.
Right. Yep. Eventually getting to a point where you can't make any more moves I love that game. So yeah, I thought give this a try. I've seen a lot of positive stuff about it. It's on the PC and Switch. It looks like the kind of thing that you would think would be on like Apple Arcade or the mobile, but it's not as of yet. It's kind of hard to explain. So it's a turn-based game. You're a little mouse with a sword, and you're up against like a big monster that has kind of all these little tiles on it, these little scales. Some of them are just armor, and then some of them have like a little number of how many hits they take before they're destroyed. And basically, what you are doing is it's kind of like turn-based pinball. So you are lining up a shot. You're kind of ricocheting yourself off the little scales that the beast has, trying to strike it. And, yeah, you're trying to basically wear down these little cores that it has that it might take 5 hits or 10 hits or whatever to do. So that's basically what it is. It's turn-based pinball with
like
this progression
breakout
of...
Or Peggle or one of those.
I was going to say, it's Peggle. It's Peggle with a story, yes.
Yeah, with like... crafting and, getting resources to make more weapons, which give you, different sort of like they might cause more damage or they function in a slightly different way, different armor that grants you different, buffs and bonuses and all that kind of stuff. But it's, it's pretty simple in concept, but in practice when you start getting the hang of it and pulling off these like good moves, it feels really, really satisfying, and it's really interesting, it's really unique, and I think it's about $20 or so it's not crazy expensive, but it's great, and it's pretty I like everything I've seen about it has been positive, but I haven't seen heaps about it, so I think if that sort of thing sounds up your alley, I think it's definitely worth having a look at, because I'm really, really enjoying it.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, well, it looks like Moorish fun, and you're right that it's strange not to be on mobile devices from the look of this.
Something that is not on mobile devices, I don't think, is Diablo 2 Resurrected. I didn't think I was going to go in on this, but I hadn't got any games to play over the past week that were new, although I'm still plugging away at Far Cry 6 and really, really enjoying that. I went in on Diablo 2. I just had this thirst for a game that was a little bit mindless, you know, a little bit something that you can be listening to music or a podcast or whatever, you know, while doing. I know that loop of that game is very satisfying. It has loot collection. It has, you know, just killing those monsters and using those powers is really fun. And so I thought, fuck it, why not? I know that the aesthetic didn't really grab me in the trailers, but I just know that this is a fun game that I've already played, you know, a bunch of times in my life.
Right.
Yep.
And it was very hard to get Battle.net to work. That apparently there had been a two-factor authentication setup, which was not me. Like, I've had the account long enough, you know, since I had Diablo 2 originally, that they just added some security measures that, like, it wasn't me, it was just the system. So it was like, how am I fucking going to get into my own account? Because this is all happened by default. But eventually I just, you know, I had to call them essentially and was like, this account's been active for 24 years, you know, like, right. What it was. And then fucking downloading another launcher, like with...
up and being like, okay, no, okay, but maybe you'll remember if I do this. Hello, it's Ben here. Do you remember me now? Do you recognize that voice?
Getting so many, I think Ubisoft Connect I had to get for Far Cry 6, and I've had issues with that as well.
Yeah, I went and got Warzone to kind of dip in before this tournament, and like, fuck, man, it's so arduous having to download a whole other thing and then... sign up to like three different things. Yeah. Oh, man.
Welcome
it's,
to PCs,
it's,
boy.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
Storefronts,
it's so annoying.
Baby.
Because, yeah, usually on console, you just opt out and then you can play the game anyway because you've got, you know, a PSN account or whatever. But, yeah, getting Battle.net. Although it did remind me that I have Diablo 3 on my account, so I can install that if I want to.
You got Diablo 5 if you play them at the same time.
And you know what? I could barely play 2 initially. I think it was an issue with my hard drive, but it was just totally fucked. I think maybe I just installed too much stuff on it or something, but it's like, why is this not working? Again, the joys of PC gaming. But I reinstalled it on a different hard drive. It's running like butter. It's absolutely smooth. It's really weird. When I launched it, I thought it was in like the legacy graphics mode, which is not to say that the current, like, the graphics are bad. It just did look kind of old-fashioned. And then, fuck me, when you trigger legacy mode and you see what it actually looked like when it came out, it's just, it's such a shock to the system. It's like, oh, you can barely see it. Which I think is a testament to how they have done the graphics and how the graphics look in motion when you're playing this remade version. They don't feel glossy and overly modern and too clean. They do really feel like what the game used to feel like. So if that was a concern for anyone, I think don't be concerned. It does feel like the OG, and it's really been super satisfying to play. I'm like almost finished Act 1. Fucking love it. Everything mechanically is the same. Story's so good. Satisfying gameplay loop. If you had the urge to play Diablo 2, just get it. It's really, really, it's worth it. It's like $60 or something, but it feels really like a fantastic remaster. I can't recommend it highly enough. Really have been enjoying this.
Because I remember when that expansion for Diablo 2, Lord...
Of Destruction. Yes.
Came out. One of the features of that was like, we'll let you bump up the resolution to 800 by 600.
Right.
Over the 640 by 480 that it was stuck at originally. So like, yeah, it is a huge difference to go from that to something that I assume is running in 4K now. Like it has.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But just stylistically, it's still isometric. It, I guess it's probably similar to something like Divinity Original Sin 2, which came out, you know, a few years ago.
But it's all 2D. Right, like it's not. It is still 2D.
Yes, you don't. You can't change the angle of the cameras or anything like that. It's still. I mean, it's 3D sprites, I assume, but it's 2D.
But sprites are, by their nature, two-dimensional. They simply trick the mind into looking like a third dimension is present.
Oh, I guess in that sense. I mean, it's my monitor is 2D. It doesn't come out of the screen.
I've got a curved monitor, so...
okay.
And I don't have a curved monitor. They look no. weird as hell to me, personally.
But, like, the atmosphere, the music is obviously still the same and still potentially the best music in video games. It's so, so evocative and so atmospheric. So if you want a, dark, gothic RPG with an emphasis on action and... you know, blowing shit up and shooting fireballs and stuff. God, it's the best that has ever been made. Don't fucking talk to me about Diablo 3. I don't want to hear it. You can talk to the hand, and that's something that I was saying around the time of the original Diablo 2. But I'm so...
They should start remastering old phrases.
yeah, totally.
For the modern day, it'd be like, talk to the fucking hand, man.
Talk to the hand, girl boss.
Yeah. Next minute, they don't want to see a girl boss. Whatever.
Talk to the not bad, good size hand.
I can't actually do this because I don't know what people say now. Hey, wait, what's an old phrase now?
yeah. Eat my shorts.
Eat my shorts, little pug who predicts the future. There you go.
Right.
Bones. mm-hmm. Cool. Diablo 2 was a good game, so it makes sense that it still is.
Yeah, it really is. I'm really pleased with the remaster, and I do, I really recommend it. I recommend it for anyone who didn't play it in the first place, too, because it's just a fantastic game of that genre and of that type. And the story and, the cuts... it's just so good. I think I had this in, my top games of all time whenever we've talked about that.
I've seen a lot of people saying that the online stuff is kind of broken and that it's you literally can't get into games and stuff like that with it with Diablo 2 as well. So that is one thing to keep in mind, that if you're doing it primarily multiplayer, it does seem like that stuff is a little dodgy currently.
Guess what? I'm not playing it online. I did notice that. I think I opened, because when you launch it, it sort of assumes you want to be in online and it's like, hey, you're in a queue of 433. So I just cancelled that and played in offline mode because that's the only way I want to fuck.
Real ones don't jump the queue. They go and sit in the corner on their own and they just wait for everyone to leave the shop, and then they're locked in the shop at night and then they've got the run of the place.
Exactly. They can immerse themselves in it properly without the interruption of rude customers.
I want to experience the story of this shop. I'm not interested in competing for these items.
Exactly, but I'm not, and I never was with Diablo 3. The sort of marketplace stuff in that was always, I think, a point of contention, balancing it and all that shit, but not something I'm engaging with, and as an offline single-player game, I can still recommend it extremely highly. It's, it's one of the greats.
And just as one other thing with it, you're playing on PC, right? So it's like mouse and keyboard still for you. Wonder and haven't seen how the controls are on console, because I know there are console versions of it, and I did sort of consider that. I have seen tiny little murmurings of people being like, the controller stuff isn't actually great for it for whatever reason.
Right.
But so I guess we can't speak to that, but it's another consideration, I guess, if you're looking to buy it on console.
Plug in a mouse to your console. That's my recommendation.
This guy fucking knows a way around everything.
It's just that easy, folks. It's just that easy. Well, is that us done for the week?
Yeah, unless every game I wanted to play either comes out yesterday or today. So,
yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. We'll have a lot to talk about. Really looking forward to Resident Evil 4 VR. Early word is that it's fucking great. Really looking forward to that. A good excuse to strap the headset on again.
Shh, come here. I've heard Resident Evil 4 VR's good. Don't tell anyone, all right? Get out of here.
Okay. Get out world of here. Exclusive. That's a world scoop, exclusive first murmurings.
Hey, it's the early word. Don't worry about it. Early word. Don't tell a word. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Girl boss. Yeah. Pug. Who tells a future?
I've heard it's real poggers.
Yeah. Sorry. I've been here for way too long. This looks suspicious now. I've been whispering to you for ages. I should have said this quickly and gotten out of here. Sorry. Bye.
Filthycasuals.com.
Do you know the way to the station? I'm really sorry. I'm kind of lost. That's why I told you.
I wonder what he's going to do for the outro now. He's already burnt a great joke.
No, I haven't. That's the thing. All right. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Filthycasuals.com.au. We got the links to the Patreon. You can get a bonus episode every week for supporting the show. And there's also the premium episodes on the Bandcamp. Check them out. And the YouTube channel where we put two videos up a week. We've just wrapped up season one of our Sims House.
Yes.
That went for about, what, 9 episodes?
9, yeah.
Lots of fun.
That'll be out. The 9th one will be out on Tuesday for non-patrons.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Lot of fun there. Binge the whole season. Yeah. We played Back 4 Blood last week. Yeah, heaps of stuff on there. Go check all that out. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Okay, so my real name is Ben Vanel, but my Blizzard name, I haven't used it since the 2000s. So it was Green Day number 4 ever. Are you finding it? Okay, no, it might have been Limp Bizkit with a...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Zed, number 4 ever. Fuck, man, don't put me through this.